often all we need to do is actually discover and then release whatever those internal obstacles have been that have blocked our connection with that divine source of all life. That's what I call God, but you can call it whatever you like. Because what blocks us is often not conscious. It's below our level of awareness. We need a power that's bigger than ourselves to begin embracing our God-given birthright, to feel whole, to be happy, to be prosperous, to feel joyous and free in mind and body and in spirit. And so if that's what you want, you're in the right place. I hope that you and all of your friends join me here every Wednesday from 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern to learn how you can begin living the life you've always wanted to live. My name is Reverend Louisa Dyer. I'm a metaphysical minister and holistic life coach with decades of counseling experience, and my passion has always been sharing what I've learned about healing pain, about living a happier and more peaceful life, about clearing the suffering that so many of us are doing. And it's about feeling connected with that divine power that lives inside of us, and how that divine source of life itself can and does heal pain and suffering. I know firsthand how faith in that divine source of life can heal all of our woundedness. So each week on Inner Divinity, we focus on what works, what helps, what really matters. My intention always is to provide you not only with the tools, but with the inspiration to remember your wholeness, to find it, and to live it. Divine Spirit is alive in each and every one of us. I know that, because without it, we wouldn't be breathing. When Spirit leaves the body dies. And until then, we have that divine spark of life and the power it holds living right inside of us. It doesn't matter where you've been, what you've done, even where you are, it only matters that you know and begin to connect with that divine source of life. Because of that inner divinity, we have the choice and the power to rise up out of depression, addiction, victimhood, or any other suffering. I know because I've done it, and I've watched countless others do it as well. And so I hope you join me here every Wednesday from 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern, right here on 88.3 FM or online at WAIF883.org, as we explore the many ways there are to tap into the power and the beauty and the divine love that lives in your heart. It's yours as soon as you claim it. There is never really anything that we need to get or gain in order to experience wholeness or joy or prosperity. There's only stuff that we have to let go of, the stuff that has blocked our awareness of already having all of that right inside of us. That divine power is ours to use for all things good, and it arises most easily and fully from humility and gratitude. And so I want to thank you so much for listening, and to also let you know that there is a Facebook page for this show by the same name, Inner Divinity, Knowing the Source Within, and I'd love to hear from you on that Facebook page. We also begin each week with a little bit of music to uplift our spirits, to bring body and mind into a greater harmony, and to let the body move if it really wants to. Because when the body's moving with music, it begins to feel more strongly that divine spirit that is actually animating the body. So we'll be back in a few minutes, and I hope you join us for today's exploration of how to live a happier, healthier, more spiritually connected life. And here's some music to get us moving on that divine journey. Enjoy. Oh,
wanna make the world a better place, take a look at yourself and then make a change.
Jackson with Man in the Mirror. For those of you who are just joining us, you are listening to WAIF Cincinnati, 88.3 FM on your dial, and also live streaming on WAIF883.org. My name is Reverend Louisa Dyer. I am a metaphysical minister and a spiritual life coach, and I am your host here every Wednesday from 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern. Our show is Inner Divinity, Knowing the Source Within. And what we focus on here is really discovering the tools and the inspiration to live happier and healthier lives. You know, we live in amazing times, and there are so many ways that we can tap into that source of life that lives inside each and every one of us. You can call that God or Great Spirit or Universal Flow, whatever you call that spark of life itself, that consciousness that actually makes us aware. It gives life to our bodies, and when we know how to tap into that, we know how to be healthier and happier than we did before. And so what we're doing every week on this show is doing really practical as well as inspirational time so that you can tap into that for yourself and begin to not only welcome a connection, but actually feel and have communication with that divine spark of life that lives inside of you, because when you do, you wake up. And today we have a really special guest on the show. His name is Larry Watson, and he is a cancer survivor. And he actually told me when we were talking about this that he used his cancer diagnosis as a way to get healthy, which I just thought was amazing. So I'm really looking forward to hearing his story about that and sharing it with you. I also want to let you know about underwriting on WAIF. If you have a business that you would like to underwrite, on WAIF, we offer incredibly cost-friendly rates. We can target your underwriting to any show that you would choose. And all you have to do is call one of our underwriting experts. You can also go online to WAIF883.org and find out about it. If you'd rather call, that number is 513-351-1538. And find out how you can get your business information to our listeners. If you want to underwrite this show, you're also welcome to contact me directly, and I will help walk you through that process. It's a way to help your business as well as this wonderful radio station. We think it's the way radio ought to be, because you will hear here what you do not hear anywhere else. So, as I said before, we are talking today with a man named Larry Watson that I had the pleasure of meeting at New Thought Unity Church when Whole Living Journal did a networking there. I've been there a couple of weeks ago. And Larry is going to tell us how he used cancer to heal himself and create a brand new life, I think. How are you today, Larry?
I'm great.
Good. So how would you introduce what you're going to tell us so that people have an idea of what they're getting ready for?
That's a good question. When I think about the journey, and cancer survivor seems like such a small part of it, the spiritual and metaphysical changes that I've gone through over the years, the things I've learned, the joy that I've found, the understanding, the peace,
wow.
All of that is really the real story to me. And so what I really like to relate is what did happen with cancer and other things that were my opportunities, that didn't create opportunities in my life to become more whole and to experience all that I have.
That's wonderful. And I think it would be good for people to know that it was 14 years ago and you went through the whole chemo radiation thing, and it was 14 years ago and you are still cancer-free at the moment.
That's right. Right. And I was lucky in that way, to say I'm lucky that I had cancer. Lucky in that it was a very aggressive type that is more easily treated, and it's more once it's gone, it's considered a cure, not a remission, not it's coming back. So that's one of the things I'm grateful for.
Yeah. Well, and you also mentioned in our phone conversation that even though you had a really aggressive treatment in terms of the chemo and the radiation, that for some reason you didn't have the typical really severe physical illness reactions to it that so many people did. Were you aware at the time that you were having a different experience than a lot of people?
I wasn't. Well, yes, I was. I just heard nightmares, you know, and I was frankly willing to go through that, and they warned me about how to deal with it and possible ways to help with it, and I didn't have that problem. So, as I was going through it, I realized that was kind of unusual, I guess. So,
do you think that was because of, like, something that you were doing to keep your immune system strong, or do you think that was something you were thinking differently than other people, or is it just you have a strong constitution?
I think it's all of those things.
Uh-huh.
And in the, you know, and looking back, people say, well, you were so healthy, you ate so well, you exercised, why would you get cancer?
Yeah.
And I think that experience with the chemo and radiation that was not as severe as other people was proof that my good health allowed me to not only survive but not have nearly the side effects and to recover quickly and to be cured at the end of it.
Right. So you were physically healthy before this whole thing happened.
Oh, yeah. I was. People paid attention to how conscious I was about how I ate, although that even improved even more as time went on after the recovery. So, yeah, I had already been in that state and realizing the importance of exercise and how to take care of myself. And yet, going through cancer and all of that, I've been able to learn new methodologies, modalities of the whole being, all the intelligences, and becoming whole through all the ways that we can, not just how do I eat or do I get exercise. That's just one of the intelligences.
Right. Yeah, I love that when you mentioned that on the phone when we were talking, that there has to be a balance in all those levels, physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual. And it sounds like from what you were saying that
maybe the balance wasn't there on those other levels, but thank God it was physically, because then physically you could go through it, and that gave you a foundation or a jumping off place to actually do the other work to bring yourself into balance.
Yeah, it certainly was nice to have that foundation.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah. So you mentioned that it's been a spiritual journey. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Well, yeah. The way I started out with the diagnosis is even sort of a gift in a way, in that as I was, I remember one night in the hospital going by a mirror and getting a glimpse of myself, and I stopped and I looked in the mirror, and the question came to my head, well, how long do you think you can live like that?
Like what?
This, at that point, the tumor had been pushing against my lungs, and one of them had collapsed. My heart was pushed so hard they thought I did have heart damage and sent me for an angiogram that was a waste of time, and was pushing against a vein to my head, caused me to black out, and the esophagus was completely flattened, and lost 15 pounds in 3 weeks. I was in pain most all the time. I didn't sleep more than 15 minutes at a time for weeks. So at that point, I was
This was before you knew what was going on?
Well, they'd finally done the test to say, yes, you have a tumor. But I had not been, the biopsy had been taken, but I had not discovered what type and what the treatment would be, what the odds were.
Right.
So I was looking in the mirror, and I asked this question, and I said, the answer came to me a week or two.
Is how long you heard you could live like that?
That's what I heard in my head, which actually the doctors later confirmed it would be 2 to 4 weeks if I had not had some help. And the next thing that came into my head is, well, let's see what we can do about that.
Hallelujah.
So at that point, I hadn't received the diagnosis, but I was welcoming it because it didn't matter to me at that point. I said, if the chances are 1.5%, I'll go for it. I can go for it.
Right.
But right now, until I have a diagnosis and a way to treat this, I'm a dead man.
Uh-huh.
So having a diagnosis was the opportunity that I could do something about it. It was a challenge. It was a problem. I don't ever deny that cancer or any other thing that comes in our lives uninvited is not a problem. It's a problem. It's a challenge. It's something to be dealt with, and it creates opportunities in our lives.
Yeah. In a way, what was different from a lot of experiences I've heard from other people and what you're describing is that a lot of people go into this incredible shock when they get the diagnosis because either they weren't expecting it at all, or it's their worst nightmare. And the difference was, before you got it, you were going, tell me, what is it, what is it, what can I do? So you were actually inviting it so that then you would have a course of treatment, so you would have know what plans to make for action to take.
Yes, and so I do, I don't understand, or I haven't experienced what other people experience with that shock, with that major fear, that and kind of sleepwalking almost.
Right.
And for me, that wasn't the case. As a matter of fact, I didn't like the doctor who came in and gave me the diagnosis and was just really not paying attention to me, and I fired him. And I got another doctor because I didn't need that. I needed every opportunity to survive and thrive. And I couldn't do that with a doctor who wasn't on my side enough for me to feel confident.
Right.
If he was just following a protocol and said, this is what we do, that's not good enough for me.
Right.
So that...
What was that process like of firing a doctor and finding another one? I think a lot of people don't even consider that they could do that.
Oh, yeah. I know. It's like, does the insurance company allow me to do this? And, you know, and the fact was my general practitioner had told me, he says, well, I'll send you to Dr. B, and because he, you know, I really trust him, and he is my mother's doctor. And I'm like, okay, that sounds good. Well, instead of Dr. B, I was talking to Dr. A, and I said, well, where's Dr. B? I told I was going to be, he's always busy right now, so I'm helping out, and which was a lie. He had taken me on as one of his patients, and I told him there's a challenge here with trust, and that's not a way I can work and feel like I'm doing the most for myself. And so there was a matter of integrity for me,
yes,
and an understanding about the mind-body connection in my getting well. I needed every advantage, everything that I could find.
And you were willing to stand up and advocate for yourself to get that.
Right. There is a, and you know, they know now through studies that the people that are most demanding and question things and don't just take whatever the doctor says for granted, those are the ones who are more likely to survive. And
yeah.
And I didn't know that at the time. I was pretty grumpy. I was sleep deprived.
For how long?
Yeah, weeks.
Oh my, I bet you were grumpy. So how did you actually turn this into an opportunity? I think hearing that story would be very helpful for me and probably for every listener of how do you turn something that is such a dreadful thing for so many people into something that actually not only works for you and helps you, but actually opens you up, because from what you said to me before, who you know yourself to be today is a very different person than who you knew yourself to be then, and it was actually that diagnosis and the journey through that that woke you up and had you take a different path.
Yes.
Can you talk about that a little?
Yeah, and the interesting thing about cancer, chemo, and radiation is there's this all this process, and you're going through this, and you're supposed to be sick, and you know it is very challenging. So that's really all I was thinking about, and regaining my weight, getting healthy physically, the physical
right.
realm. But once treatment is finished, there's something that's called free fall that a lot of cancer survivors experience. Once the treatment is done, there's no more visits to the doctor, and the doctor just says, well, we'll wait and see. That wasn't good enough for me.
So when you say free fall, you mean suddenly you have no support anymore.
That's the way it feels.
Yeah.
Correct. And even, you know, friends and family, they're swarming around me, you know, for that period, and then I'm well. So they don't know if they should be focusing on that at all, which they shouldn't, you know. But it's a matter of this is what my life had become, and now I don't have this around me anymore. What am I going to do? One of the things that happens for cancer survivors is that they lose some of their identity and take on the identity of a person in treatment, a person getting well.
Right.
And when that's done, well, they've kind of lost two identities. So there's also an identity sense of challenge of who am I now? Well, what does that mean? What am I without that? So that was another opportunity. So I started reading these books. I just went to the library and found anything I could. And one of them said 50 things to do when you get cancer. One of those things said that in a study with women with metastatic breast cancer, that half of them were in a support group and half were not.
Mm-hmm.
And the ones in the support group lived twice as long as the others.
That is amazing.
And that was an immediate connection to me for the mind-body connection.
Right.
And the other thing I realized is that I had a spiritual vacuum for me. And I wasn't really clear about that until awareness I have that when things show up two or three times in my life, then it's time to do something with that.
Right.
And so New Thought Unity Center had been brought up to me three or four times, and I was sitting watching the news, and on a Sunday morning there was this little segment about wellness, and this woman talking about how she felt that spirituality was a part of her recovery from cancer. And showed her at New Thought Unity Center. And I said, well, that's the fourth time. I think it's time I went. And I got up, got dressed, and went. And that started me on my spiritual journey that's been a major part of my getting in balance.
Wow. So is it possible for you to sum up in what process that began in you when you actually walked in that day? And it's like, what was that? What happened in you when you something had to have shifted, just the way you look and how you say it. I'm really curious about that when you walked in and sat through that first service. What was going on for you?
The interesting thing about that is, in looking back before that and from that time forward, is that this was an aspect of myself, not just my life, my core, that seemed like I had been hungry for. And when I walked in, it felt like I was finally fed.
Wow.
I finally understood that there were people who thought outside of the paradigms of my faith of origin.
Right.
And it felt healthy. It felt whole. It felt real. It felt like it was who I was without having to compromise or subject myself to somebody else's ways. And it's a very open way, and there's spiritual teachings from all sorts of practices. So it was liberating, and it just was allowed me to bring forth what was already there that I didn't know was there.
It sounds like it also began to resolve some of that identity crisis that you had been through with having cancer in the first place and then supposedly being healed and then, like, who am I?
Yeah, and that was very empowering, too, to say, oh, well, I am something without those labels.
Great.
Now, one of the things that did continue was my work. I had been, up to the time I was diagnosed, I had been a full-time artist for 10 years, and I continued that work, and I loved it. And it also allowed me to appreciate it more. Fast forward 9 years, I was becoming fatigued and short of breath, and I went to the doctors and found out that the chemo and radiation had affected my heart over the years. And again, I think my healthy lifestyle delayed that. Most people, when they experience those challenges from chemo, it's within the first year or so. So this was 9 years later, and that situation did not allow me to continue working in clay.
Well, I guess not. Because if your heart's not functioning, then the rest of the body sort of, hello, I need some help.
Yeah. So it was an awareness that I would not be a full-time artist anymore. Now, that was a huge part of my identity.
I bet.
That was a bigger thing than anything else as far as in the physical realm.
Uh-huh.
And it's a creative part of my life. So I had this realization that once the doctor said, well, I've done everything I can, I don't know what else to do, you're going to be like that, it gets any worse at all, we'll put you on a heart transplant list. And at that point, I'm like, well, I'm no longer an artist. And then I started thinking about my whole life that was around being an artist, that my friends were that. I had... People knew me by that. People knew of my being president of the board of an arts organization, to have been on the advisory boards of several arts organizations, to have received a Lifetime Achievement Award. And that's what I thought I was.
Right.
And here I wasn't.
Wow. You know, I want to take a little break right there, if you don't mind, but I want people to think about that. What would that feel like to be very clear about who you are, and then suddenly you're not? That identity crisis, I think, most of us go through to one degree or the other, but when it happens that dramatically, it really makes us go into that space of, okay, who am I? And that is the quintessential spiritual question that everybody always is saying, okay, that's what you have to answer. So I want to hear a little bit more about that from you. I want to let everybody know who's listening, if you're just tuning in, that you are listening to 88.3 FM on your dial, which is WAIF Cincinnati. We are also live streaming online at WAIF883.org. The show you're listening to is Inner Divinity, Knowing the Source Within, and we are on every Wednesday from 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern. I'm your host, Louisa Dyer. I'm a metaphysical minister and a spiritual life coach. And what we do on this show every week is give you tools and hopefully the inspiration to lead happier and healthier lives. And today what we're doing is talking with a guy who lives here in Cincinnati about his journey of waking up more to his own authentic self through a journey of dealing with cancer, and I think it's quite an amazing story. I also want to let people know that the underwriter for this show, I'm very, very grateful to them, and you can be an underwriter of this show or any other one if you want to. Just by going online, you can find out information about that. But I want to let you know right now about Women's Way of Ohio and Kentucky. They celebrate women in the arts. Women make important contributions in all aspects of the art world, transcending old ways of thinking with unique perspectives. Women's Way celebrates female writers, musicians, actors, and fine artists by having special concerts and film showings, an annual Swan Day, which stands for Support Women Artists Now, happens every March, and also Friday Night Salons at 6906 Plainfield Road. A current schedule of events is posted online at womenswayohio.org, and their phone number, if you'd rather speak to someone, is 513-923-1414. So let's get back to our conversation with Larry here, and he was talking about that quintessential question of, who am I? Pretty much every spiritual teacher throughout time has said, we can get as far as we want in our spiritual path simply by asking that question and getting quiet enough to hear the answer beyond all the answers that we give. So how did that work for you in terms of all those levels, physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual, and being as healthy as you apparently look?
Yeah, it's been an exciting journey. One of the first things that I think that was really important is acceptance.
Yeah.
And I think that is both an emotional and a spiritual process.
Absolutely.
So getting to the point of accepting that my identity had been stripped and I might not be doing that anymore and I might lose my home, I might this, I might that. And getting to a point of being at peace with that by accepting those possibilities and not labeling them as good or bad. You know, I just, one of the opportunities there, opportunity, is that I was able to be so grateful for all that I had up to that point.
Uh-huh.
I had this beautiful home out in the country, and I'd had some amazing trips because I was an artist. I went to Ukraine, I went to France, to Germany, Switzerland. I went to, so there was a sense of gratitude that comes with acceptance.
Yeah.
And I don't know that one has to precede the other.
They really go together.
Yeah. So in that acceptance, I also said, well, what do I have left?
Yeah.
Because everybody has something. Have you seen the video of the guy with no arms and no legs?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. What do you have left?
And he now has a girlfriend.
Yeah.
Yeah, what do you have?
And he drives a boat. He goes talking to people. What does he have left? He has an amazing heart.
Yeah.
And so this was my opportunity to put that knowledge to use. What do I have?
Yeah.
I have an amazing intuition. I have a great heart. I have a lot of wisdom. I have a lot of spiritual teachings, a lot of life teachings, programs that I've gone through, trainings. And there was eventually the opportunity to say, okay, I can move beyond this and now be of service to others.
Uh-huh.
And part of that was writing my book. Part of it was becoming a life coach and a speaker and motivational and being able to help people that have been in similar situations, or not even similar. It doesn't matter. It's a matter of the journey of moving forward, of taking a step to understanding the balance of the four intelligences, to understanding acceptance, to experience the joy that comes with that.
Yeah.
I don't know that I've ever, I don't think I've ever been happier in my life than I am right now. So that limitation doesn't stop at, you know, the realization, oh, my life has changed. There's always an opportunity that comes with every change.
Right. Well, and I think that's exactly how you, it's funny, it's sort of like a circle, because unless you think that, it isn't. But when you think that, it is.
That's right.
So you can say, I have an opportunity because I think I do, and therefore I do, and I will, and you go forward. You didn't get lost in the victim, oh gosh, oh whoa. It's like you didn't. You said, okay, now what? And you literally proceeded to put one foot in front of the other and discovered that you have a great deal that you could call identity, but more importantly, it sounds like you recognized how you could be of service. And therefore, the whole, what I think of as ego structure around identity ceased to be that relevant. What was relevant is your words were, what do I have left? And then I heard, how do I serve? How do I use that to serve? And we don't need a role. We don't need that ego structure of identity to do that. We just have to show up.
Yes. Show up, listen, and play.
Yeah, yeah. Great. So you want to just take a moment and tell people about your book?
Yeah. It's called Rough Pieces, The Treasure Map of a Cancer Survivor's Journey. And it talks about a lot of the things I'm talking about here. My original goal in writing the book was to say I wrote a book. There was just something about that that attracted me. I think there was a large part of ego, but I also think there was a very spiritual part of me that wanted to say, this is not all bad. This isn't a terrible story. There's a lot of great things that came out of this. I'm not one to say that cancer or any other major challenge is not a problem. I'm not like that. But I know that a problem creates a challenge that creates opportunities where there are blessings that come from that. You can say that the originator of all of that is the cancer and say that the cancer is a blessing. That's fine. I don't say that for anybody else.
It certainly, though, opened you up to discovering new blessings.
That's it. Exactly.
Yeah.
So is the cancer a blessing? I guess you could say that. But the blessings are not the cancer.
Exactly.
The blessings are all the things that happened in my life and the growth that I experienced and the opportunity to serve the world in a way that lights me up and I hope is very transformational for other people.
And is that what you talk about in the book? Is that what that process was like for you?
Yes. And it's interesting in the book, Rough Pieces was just a file name for, I'm going to jot this down. So what do I call the file? We'll make a folder that says Rough Pieces. And it became the title of the book because I think that the rough pieces in life are the opportunities, the challenges. In my artwork, in going through that, that became a part of my artwork, was that I would actually intentionally dent and tear and push on the pot, the pottery that I made, the vases, and know that I could make that a part of the beauty of the pot.
Mm-hmm.
Once I change the perspective, it's not just an accident. It's not just throwing a stick at it and saying, okay, whatever happens. But to say, take intention of what I'm going to do with that, what would otherwise be called a flaw.
Right, right. So you would intentionally create an apparent imperfection for what purpose?
It creates so much more character.
Aha, uh-huh. Interest, character, yeah.
It's not perfection anymore. There is no such thing as perfection in life, in people. So that the pottery became a metaphor for me.
That's wonderful. And so the book, Rough Pieces, is available through a website, I would imagine?
It's available on Amazon.com. It's also available at Greyden Press, Greyden Press. And that's probably the better site to purchase them from.
And you had mentioned that you are a life coach and a motivational speaker. Is there a way that people could get a hold of you if they wanted to for those activities?
Yes, my website, www.inspiringconnection.com. That's singular, inspiringconnection.com.
Mm-hmm.
Or email me at larry@inspiringconnection.com.
Right, great. I love that idea. I'm glad we're sort of closing on that idea of the perfection of the imperfection. And whether that is in our concept of our identity, or whether that's in the concept of making a pot, or writing a book, or living a life. That perfection of imperfection, if you really think about that, to me, sounds like the process of bringing those four, what you call the four level of intelligences, what I call all PIMS levels, physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual. It sounds like the process of bringing those levels into balance. Because there's never a static state. There's never, like that doesn't exist. That's a fantasy, a myth. That static place where everything is just perfectly balanced and still. No. It's like change, constant change.
Yes.
And so when you talk about, I don't know, I keep hearing that phrase, you didn't say it, I realize that. The perfection of the imperfection.
Mm-hmm.
I love that.
It's so true, because in our desire for things to be fixed and static and perfect, that's a Western concept. The Eastern concept is growth in the fact that we're not even static in between one moment and the next, because someone who's perfectly calm and nonviolent, you attack their child, that's going to change.
Yeah.
And we're capable of that. We're capable of change and flexibility and growth through a moment, through a lifetime.
Right. Well, and it's happening on the microscopic, at the cellular level, every second. Everything is changing every second. And also at the macroscopic, like you're talking.
And part of my recovery from my heart condition, I went from the measure of a heart is its efficiency. I was at 15% on the border of being on a heart transplant list. And because of my work, the doctor gave up on me. Because of my work, I have raised it to 53%.
Oh, congratulations.
But part of that was affirmations,
uh-huh.
which are the mind-body connection, is on a cellular level,
yes.
that the DNA wants to be healthy.
Yes, it does. So I'm assuming you've read Biology of Belief.
I don't think I've read that one yet.
Oh, my goodness. That'd really tie it all together, because Bruce Lipton is a cell biologist, and he actually proves through scientific experimentation that what you think and feel is what is affecting every cell in your body every second, and that your cells are actually responding to what you're thinking and feeling as much or more than they are to what your DNA and your genes say, so that your genes are actually controlled as much by. It's a whole new field called epigenetics, and it's starting to actually be practiced in Western medicine, because it has now been scientifically proven so clearly. But I think that's what you're meaning when you say the mind-body connection.
Mm-hmm.
So from 15% of heart function to
53%. Normal is 60 to 70%.
Oh, wow. So it's even higher than I was thinking.
Yeah, and that's at rest. So, you know, the doctor said you could run a marathon. I said, no. I still only have two chambers out of four working. So when I start in exercising and activity, that shows up. So, no, I'm not running a marathon. But
so can you give, like, a one-minute synopsis of how you improved your own heart?
There's a book called The Sinatra Solution that has a whole regimen of supplements, and most of my recovery, I credit that. The other is the affirmations
Sinatra
I did.
Sinatra as in, like, Frank Sinatra?
Yes.
Sinatra.
It's by a Dr. Sinatra. It gives all the biology. If you're interested in the science of it, he gives it, and it's over my head. But it's by clinical trials, it's proven. And it also helps with fibromyalgia, so it's a really great book.
It's called The Sinatra
Solution.
Solution.
Yes. And then the affirmations, on my daily walk, I would just repeat over and over, my heart is regenerating from its blueprint of perfection to its natural state of good health and vitality.
Oh, say that again.
My heart is regenerating from its blueprint of perfection to its natural state of good health and vitality.
Okay, so folks, you can use that about any organ in your body.
That's right. That's right. Because it is regenerating, just like you said.
Every second.
So I just chose to say that's how it's regenerating. And over 5 years, I am, you know, the doctor is just amazed at the health of my heart.
Wonderful.
Compared to then.
Wonderful. I want to thank you so much for being on the show today. I've really, really enjoyed this.
Thanks for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah. It's amazing how fast the time goes, but... Mm-hmm. we are out of time. I wonder if you have, like, any last little words you want to say before we wrap this up.
I would say that living an authentic life and coming from the source, from your inner self, is probably one of the greatest points of freedom and probably the scariest thing there is to do. And I encourage that.
Scary because it takes courage?
It takes courage. It's something that we're not used to. It's outside of our paradigm. We don't realize how joyful that can be as opposed to living the personality life, living the surface life, pleasing others, pleasing, you know, going with the momentum and with the inertia, all that stuff. That's not where joy is. It's in living the authentic life from the soul.
And how would you define authentic?
It's the part of us that isn't relying on this physical plane, that has a sense of honesty and integrity that comes from a spiritual basis. And when we turn to that, when we step outside of ourselves and become the observer, we can see it. We can see when we're not in our authentic self, and we can see when we are.
Yes, I agree. Thank you. Thank you again. I've had a really good time.
Thank you.
Yeah, wonderful. So, again, I want to let everybody know that you are listening to WAIF Cincinnati, 88.3 FM on your dial, and also live streaming online at WAIF883.org. The show is Inner Divinity. We're here every week from 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern, and I hope you join me here again next week. There is also a Facebook page for this show by the same name, Inner Divinity, Knowing the Source Within. So I hope you join me on Facebook. I love hearing people's stories. If you've had an aha moment or a transformational story of any kind, it doesn't matter when it happened in your life, and you think that telling it would be either healing for yourself or inspirational for other people to hear, then I invite you to get in touch with me either through that Facebook page. You can also do that through my website, which is just my name, louisadyer.com. And all the radio shows that I've done here in Cincinnati, well, for that matter, all the ones I did in Asheville, too, are all archived on that website. And this show today will be archived there within a week or so at the very latest. And so if you scroll to the bottom of the homepage, you can find all the archived shows for what I've done here in Cincinnati. And so, again, I just want to invite you to join us next week from 2 to 3 p.m. And we close out every week with the theme song for the show, which is God Is by Faith Rivera. Because she tells us the truth of it. Enjoy, and I will see you back here next week. Blessings. Where I am.